Heavenly Father, I need your help this morning. The message that you've laid upon my heart to preach is a sober one, yet it needs to be said. Lord, I pray for your anointing to rest upon me this day and to give me the boldness to preach it with accuracy and with confidence. May your Holy Spirit come and touch me and touch the hearts of your people. May we open our ears to hear. May we open our eyes to see. May we open our hearts to receive your word. Change us, Father. Mold us. Make us into the vessels of integrity that you'd have us to be. We ask it now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Without a doubt, the maintenance of integrity in our daily lives plays an important role in the overall makeup of who we are. To maintain integrity is often a difficult task. Each one of us in our daily living is challenged with a constant battle for the maintenance of integrity. To maintain soundness, to maintain moral or artistic values, to maintain completeness, to maintain honesty, to maintain incorruptibility, to maintain integrity. The word integrity is a noun which means to live in an unimpaired condition. It means to live in the quality or state of being complete or undivided. In the Old Testament, integrity means the state or quality of being ethically sound, morally well-adjusted, and is derived from the Hebrew word tom, which means completeness, and the Hebrew word tumah, which means integrity. It is translated integrity in all places where it signifies sincerity and honesty of heart. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 5, Abimelech went before the Lord and petitioned for integrity by stating to God he had acted in a clear conscience and had clean hands. And in verse 6, the Bible tells us that God told Abimelech that he knew he had a clear conscience, and God said to Abimelech, "Because of this I have kept Abimelech from sinning against me," telling us that God protected Abimelech because he had walked in integrity. In 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3, the Bible tells us how the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, "I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple, which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. As I promised David your father when I said you shall never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel." And we see evidence, once again, of God working on the behalf of a man walking in integrity. God establishing a whole nation of people through the integrity of one man, King Solomon. And we find in the book of Job a classic example of the acid test of this thing we call integrity. When Job was put to the test concerning his integrity, and in Job chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible tells us, "The angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason.' Skin for skin," Satan replied, "a man will give all he has for his own life, but stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. And then Job took a broken piece of pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we not accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he had said. And we as human beings hear this account of Job and begin to see how this word integrity hits home with us. Because each one of us have had or are involved in or will have in the future a test of integrity like the one Job experienced. Whether we like it or whether we do not like it, the acid tests of our integrity will come in our lives. And in Job chapter 6, verse 29, we find Job responding to charges from his unkind friends who charged Job with wrongdoing. And we find Job defending his integrity by telling his friends, but now, be so kind as to look at me. Would I lie to your face? Relent, do not be unjust. Reconsider, for my integrity is at stake. And we see that scenario so common in the course of a man's life, of trying desperately to maintain integrity among the scrupulous eye of men, at all costs holding on to some form of dignity, some part of solvency, some degree of soundness, some composure of integrity. And we find Job in Job 27 continuing his discourse with his friends. As surely as God lives, who has denied me justice, the Almighty, who has made me taste bitterness of soul, as long as I live, I have life within me, the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, and my tongue will utter no deceit. I will never admit you are in the right. Till I die, I will not deny my integrity. I will maintain my righteousness and never let go of it. My conscience will not reproach me as long as I live. And we hear this defense given by Job, and we begin to see when all is said and done for this man, Job, after his family is wiped out, his wife deserted him, his wealth lost, his health tested, and his close friends turning against him, he had only one thing that was left to him, one thing that was exclusive to his personage, one thing that he could still hold on to, that being his own personal integrity. And when the storm begins to rage and those personal kinds of tests we experience in life take place and the pressures of life mount, then the meaning of this word integrity really begins to take root in our lives, because a man's life is gauged upon his integrity. A man's life is founded upon integrity. A man's life is built upon integrity. A man's life is maintained upon integrity. A man's life stands or falls upon the foundation of integrity, because without integrity, a man's life is blown away. But a man of integrity is a man that survives the tests of life, because the integrity of a man is not measured by Dun and Bradstreet. The integrity of a man is not measured by his holdings. The integrity of a man is not measured by his status. The integrity of a man is not measured by his profit or loss statement. There are so many people that have everything that money can buy, but they have nothing that they really want or need, because they have never walked in integrity. And the Bible says if you want this thing called integrity, then you've got to begin to confirm your life, to build your life, to maintain your life, and establish your life around those principles that bring forth integrity. I don't know if you've ever read Psalm 1. Well, the Bible says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates both day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Telling us, first of all, a man of integrity does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And a man of integrity has a certain kind of walk. Because if you walk in the counsel of the wicked, it's going to bring stress, tension, worry, fear, division, estrangement, and isolation. Because it's going to bring unsoundness to your life, disunity to your life, corrupt things into your life, false things into your life, because that's the way of the world. And if you try to live your life by the spirit of the world, by that counsel of the wicked, you're going to end up as a result of what the world feels and of what the world sees. So it's a different kind of walk, a different kind of stance, a different kind of posture. A man of integrity does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. He doesn't take spiritual things and make them secular. He doesn't take holy things and make them humanistic. He doesn't take divine things and make them worldly. And when we look at the world today, we see a loss of giving respect and honor to the things that really belong to God. We look at our universities and colleges, and we're turning out great educated men. We're turning out lawyers and doctors and physicians and businessmen and engineers and all types of educated men. But what value is all of that if our beliefs, our attitudes, our character, our values, our temperaments are not filled with the power of the living God? What value is that? The theme of the world today is to increase the quality of life, a selfish, narcissistic kind of life without any type of integrity. Kill the unborn to increase quality. Whatever happened to the value of life? My God, what has happened to us? I remember a time when I was a small child in the mid-50s, just small. My father and I were driving down the road in the little community we lived in, and I saw that the medical building in which I had gone to the dentist was all roped off. And I asked my father, I says, what's going on? He says, well, they ran that doctor out of town. He owned that building. I said, well, what did he do wrong? He did abortions. And I asked my father, I said, what's an abortion? He says, it's a bad doctor. It's a man without integrity. And when you look at the world, does it not walk in the counsel of the wicked? Does it not stand in the way of sinners? Does it not sit in the scornful and the mockers? In Proverbs 13:1, the Bible tells us, a mocker or scorner will not accept rebuke. He will not take advice. He's going to resist any kind of advice. For in Proverbs 15:20, he who walks in with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And in Proverbs 14:6, the Bible tells us that the mocker seeks wisdom but finds none. He's going to look for it and not find it. And in Proverbs 15:12 says, a mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise. For a mocker is cynical. He is arrogant. He is unteachable. For the man without integrity is a mocker. For the man without integrity is a scorner. And the telltale mark of a man without any integrity is the man who will not put himself under the authority of God. And what we are beginning to see in this world today is a crop of men that are without integrity. And what we are learning is that there is no way we can establish roles in the home without men of integrity. There is no way we can solve our problems without men of integrity. There is no way we can raise our children without men of integrity. And you can live in a land that has the most educated people on the face of the earth, and you can live in a land that has the highest quality of life on the face of the earth, and you can possess every material thing that you ever wanted, but if you do not have integrity, you do not have anything. And what we need in this country is a return to the type of integrity that our founding fathers possessed, to build our homes on the rock, Christ Jesus. And when we build our homes on that rock, then we're going to build our country on the integrity of the Lord God Almighty. For without the integrity of the Lord, we will not be able to withstand the test of life. Amen and amen and amen. People who try to live their life without integrity are just fooling themselves. Because whatever goes around comes around. Whatever is given out is given back. Sort of like a time a Texan was being tried in a New York City court. The young man felt he didn't have a prayer, beating the murder rap. Thus, shortly before the jury was to retire, he bribed one of the jurors to find him guilty of manslaughter. The jury was out for days, after which they returned for the verdict of manslaughter. Cornering the juror, the Texan said, "Thanks a million. How did you ever manage it?" "It wasn't easy," admitted the juror. The others wanted to acquit you. Galatians 6:7 says, a man reaps what he sows. These words in Galatians are so appropriate in regards to the development of integrity, the making of a man of integrity. We are what we sow. What we have to begin to understand is that our God is a God of integrity, and His integrity is going to be fulfilled. His integrity is going to be completed. His integrity will prevail. And the God we serve is a God that responds to men that are walking in integrity. He makes a way for the man of integrity. Proverbs 13:6 says, righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed in their duplicity. Proverbs 10:9 says, the man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. Proverbs 9:10-12, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. And we hear about the importance of the walk of integrity and the benefits we derive from it. But the question of the day is, how do we become men of integrity, to walk in integrity, to live in integrity, to maintain a life of integrity? Because the greatest honor any man can receive is when he is given the title of being a man of integrity. It is the greatest recognition of respect that can be given to a man. For men to say he is a man of great integrity is a great honor, one of which few men aspire to. If there was ever a man that was in the spotlight concerning this word integrity, was this man called Jesus Christ. His life set the precedence for the Word. His life set the standard for the Word. His life gave the word integrity meaning. Yet it did not come without a cost. The maintenance of the integrity of heart and the uprightness of Jesus is a model that gives to us an example for us to follow. Christ's life was the most scrutinized life that ever walked on the face of the earth. Why? Because he was the ultimate example of a man of integrity. And when you walk and live in that kind of integrity, that kind of soundness, wholeness, and honesty, the world is going to scorn and mock. The way Jesus responded to attacks on his integrity is the way we must learn to respond. And the only way we are ever going to maintain our integrity in the light of the Lord is to delight in his law and meditate on it both day and night. Because the mocker and the scorner is everywhere to be found. And if we are going to be people of integrity, and if we're going to be able to act decisively and speak decisively and to counteract the kind of evil entrapments that are being sent out in the world today, hell-bent on destroying our integrity in the Lord, we must begin to delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it both day and night. Because the man of integrity is a man measured by the decision he makes. We are all here today what we have decided to be. We are going to do this week what we decide to do. And a man of integrity is marked by the decisions he makes. We are going to be the kind of people we decide we're going to be. We are what we delight in, and we are what we meditate on. The kind of people we are is what we delight in and what we meditate on. And we have got to make a decision whether our choice is going to be made on the ways of the world or on the ways of God. We make a choice of whether we live our lives by the ways of the world or on the ways of God. And the one factor that establishes a man of integrity is his modeling after the word of the Lord. On his word does he delight and meditate. And the word makes changes and forms the man into a man of integrity. Our character, our personality, our self-image, our relationships are all made up of what we delight in and what we meditate on. If you delight in the things you see in the secular world, the television, the motion picture industry, the media, that's what you're going to be. If you meditate on evil things, then that's what you're going to be. And the Bible says our decisions are made on what we meditate on, what we contemplate on, what we focus on. The one man that has had the most influence and gained the highest respect and honor in my life is on the top of my list as a great man of integrity is Dr. Paul L. Walker. The reason is that he lives the Word, talks the Word, speaks the Word, delights in the Word, and meditates on the Word, and lives out his daily life in accordance with the law of the Lord, and walks as a man of integrity, talks as a man of integrity, all because he is constantly delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating on it both day and night. And because of his personal sacrifice to be a man of integrity, he has given to me a live, flesh and blood human being of which I could see, I could touch, I could watch, and I could model my life after a man that was a real man of integrity. He has had the most influence on my life than any other human being that I have ever met. He has had the most important impact on the way I make my decisions. Why? Because he is a man of integrity. You see, it boils down to a matter of choice. I choose where I want to plant. I can plant by the streams of water, or I can plant by the dry, dead place. Where are you growing? It starts where we are planted. We must go to the right source, Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Maybe Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, sums up the source that the man of integrity draws from. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Let me close with this. James Cash Penny's first venture as a retail proprietor, a butcher shop in Longmont, Colorado, opened in 1899. And he failed almost immediately after he refused to bribe an important local hotel chef with a weekly bottle of bourbon. I lost everything I had, he said, but I learned never to compromise. Penny's unwavering faith in the copybook maxims of his youth roused skepticism in the mercenary age, but his credo underlay his success. At his death in 1971, Penny, 95, left a 1,660-store empire that he built without compromising the stiff principles he had absorbed from the three generations of Baptist preacher ancestors. He neither smoked nor drank, and for years demanded the same conduct from his employees. I believe in adherence to the golden rule, faith in God and in my country, he often said. I would rather be known as a Christian rather than a merchant. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. May it go forward now and may it take root. And Lord, may it grow up. May we become men of integrity for your glory and your kingdom. Help us, God, by your grace, to see beyond our noses, to see how important one solitary life can make in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.